Welcome, everybody, to the Min-Maxed Podcast. I am your host and game master, Tyler Dykeman, and today we are starting our playthrough of The Fall of Plaguestone, Paizo's introductory level 1 to 4 adventure for second edition. Hey, guys, how you doing?
Ready to roll some fucking dice.
Yeah, right?
Ready to smite some foes.
The first thing I want to point out before we start here is that in our setup, we are recording over the internet. We're using a voice chat conference, and we do utilize Sirenscape in our games. So I just wanted to plug Sirenscape here real quick because they have an awesome product here. You can subscribe and get access to all of their awesome sound sets, and we'll include a link for Sirenscape in the description of the video.
Show notes, Tyler. It's called show notes.
Show notes, right.
Learn to podcast, noob.
Look at me, I'm fancy Mr. David. I know all these weird words.
I've listened to a goddamn podcast once in my life.
Anathema.
I'm going to point out something really big for our playthrough of The Fall of Plaguestone. We hardly understand the 2E system to its entirety. I've been trying my best to just devour this book over the last 2 days now. It's, as of recording here, it's August 2nd of 2019, the day after second edition's release date. So we're learning. Hopefully you guys can learn something listening to us. We're going to do a lot of crunching of the rules in this with not as much RP. The RP is still going to be there. We're primarily focusing on learning the game. We're going to, after we're finished with Fall of Plaguestone, we're going to jump into Paizo's full campaign, which is Age of Ashes.
Age of Ashes.
The Age of Ashes. And when we do that, we're full diving into that, role play heavy, and we're going to be running with as little rules look up as we can, because the idea is we're going to learn everything we need to know during the Fall of Plaguestone. So we're going to begin. The whole adventure starts off with our party of intrepid adventurers, not really quite intrepid adventurers yet. You all are in a wagon train, and you're in a wagon train that's run by a man named Bort. Bort is a dwarven merchant, and you're currently on the road.
Is this the start of a Skyrim game?
Yeah, oh, fade to black. You wake up, your hands are tied. Across the wagon. No.
Greetings, stranger.
Every time.
This is my nightmare.
But no, you're starting off in a wagon. You guys have been in the wagon, in the train here for a couple of days. You're passengers, and you're on your way to Andoran from Isgard. To Andoran.
Basically the Revolutionary United States version of fantasy role-playing.
Yes. That's the best way to think of it. It has been 3 days since you left Elidir, climbing into the back of one of Bort Bargeth's wagons, bound for the faraway Andoran capital of Almas. The smiling caravan master cut your travel cost to only a handful of coppers, so long as you promised to protect the wagons should any trouble arise. Fortunately, your journey through the hinterlands of Isgar has been quiet, even if the ride itself has been far from comfortable. As you broke camp this morning, Bort announced that you should arrive at the town of Etrin's Folly by nightfall, and he promised a comfortable bed for the night as a reward for a long day's travel. The caravan's teamsters shared a chuckle between them, trading knowing glances and subtle nods. But soon enough, you are on the road again, and the wagon bouncing and creaking along the uneven trail. Does anybody want to give me their character descriptions? You guys don't really know each other. You've been on the road for 3 days. Maybe you've been really quiet so far.
I said, I am very quiet. My name is Vorn Storm, and I just sit awkwardly in the corner. My half-orc, all dirty, druid-like. I've been living out in the woods for
years. So you're definitely like, I can distinguish you're a half-orc.
I feel like everybody just keeps away from me because I smell. And yeah, I'm kind of the gross guy in the corner that nobody wants to talk to.
Smell like BO and wet dirt, right?
Oh, it's nasty. It's nasty.
All right, Vorn Storm sits in the corner of the wagon and just kind of quietly stares out and watches the forest as it passes.
There is also a halfling aboard the wagon party. His name is Plum Parjade. He dresses all in purple as much as he can manage. He looks pensively out as if he's longing for something.
So Plum the halfling sorcerer, just kind of hanging out, looking wistfully into the woods.
What it really is he's homesick for the sea.
Nah, the road is not the place for a sailor.
You'll also find a goblin in the wagon, and he has approached every single one of you and started up a conversation at least once. And
the only thing that could stand the smell of the half-orc.
You attempted to start a conversation with the half-orc. No conversations from the half-orc.
Just some grunts.
I mean, regardless of what you guys say to him, he will walk up to each and every one of you and go, "Me, Miklik, who are you?"
"I'm Daru. How do you feel about Desna?" I try to, like, preach to this goblin.
"Who?"
"Desna, the butterfly?" I knock on my shield.
Butterflies tasty.
No.
Yes.
I like butterflies, too. The goblins, right? And I look back at the trees.
You just like them, or you eat them, too?
No.
Okay.
All that you would eat things of nature like that,
Hey, that's what the goblin's doing.
Much better ways of getting sustenance.
They tasty.
Well, after realizing the goblin isn't really ready for a good conversation about religion, I'll just go back to praying.
Plum Parjiter would engage you in conversation about Desna.
Oh, heck yeah.
He follows the Lady of the Roads.
Like, you're a follower of her, or you just, like, know of her?
Oh, no. Desna has served me well on many a journey, over sea and over land.
Who is this Desna? The only god I know is nature.
Desna, the butterfly?
She's
Lady of Travel and Inns?
You named a butterfly Desna?
She kind of named herself, I think.
What?
I'm sorry if I ate her.
Oh, God.
I've never named a butterfly before.
So as you guys talk, you get to know each other. The day passes. It's a really quiet journey. After some time, it's like late afternoon, you hear from ahead of the wagons, "Up ahead is Plaguestone."
Nope, I don't think I have any kind of check to know anything about Plaguestone. Is there any kind of general knowledge I might have of what Plaguestone is?
Do you have society? What lores do you have?
I mean, I know why I'm going here, right?
No. This is the Etrin's Folly is a stopover on the way to Andoran.
Yeah. Oh, okay. And that's where I'm going.
Yes.
All right. Okay.
We're heading to Andoran.
Yeah. Yes.
No, I do not have anything relevant. I lean over to one of the more experienced travelers on this wagon and I ask, "So, do we know anything about this Plaguestone place?"
Plaguestone. Etrin's Folly. We call it Plaguestone. Careful when you're talking to the locals. They don't like that name very much.
I see. I'll keep that under my hat.
We've been there several times, and let's just say a restful night's sleep in Plaguestone isn't that much better than under the wagon.
To what are you referring, good sir?
Well, the only rooms they got at the inn are just some stuffed mattresses over the stable.
Oh, I see. Well,
it's not very comfortable.
Sure, it'll be the best sleep the half-orc ever got.
I'm just sleeping in the brig, so it's fine.
We've got a sailor, a fucking goblin, and a half-orc. None of us care where we sleep.
I've been sleeping
all right.
For years.
Okay, all right. You don't have to have fancy sleeping conditions.
What's
sorry.
A mattress?
It's a thing where you stuff soft things into it, and then you lay on it.
Are there lots of trees?
No.
Why the fuck am I going here?
I don't know. You're a passenger on this train.
I thought this was like a cruise ship. I was just checking out nature. Like, I saw it riding by. I'm like, that looks like a good time. You get to see a lot of new places.
You're seeing a lot of nature right now.
Taking the scenic route.
I'm enjoying it quite thoroughly.
Well, good.
I guess. You weird half-orc.
What's a half-orc?
He shakes his head, looks up, snaps the reins on the horse, and keeps going.
As some time passes on here, you notice that the forests around you start getting a little quiet. It seems odd. The birds stop.
All you hear is
the wind.
I don't like this.
What do you do?
It gets quiet in the forest and the druid doesn't like it.
I try to perceive what is happening around me.
Go ahead and give me a perception check.
Okay. That's one of the few things I'm really good at. Rolled a 13 plus 7, 20.
You notice in between some of the trees deeper in the woods, there's some low shapes that are running.
Do I recognize what kind of shapes? I mean, I've been living in the woods all my life.
Definitely four-legged animal. You're thinking like a wolf or a dog or something like that.
They coming at us?
No, they're running along and trotting alongside of the wagons as they move forward.
Do I feel like this is like just them running in the woods like normal, or are they running from something?
No, this almost looks like
more they're following us.
Like a pack.
Yeah, I'd make a nature or a survival check.
A nature check?
Yeah, that's a good idea. If you got nature or survival, well, there's no, is it nature anymore?
There is nature and survival.
Nature and survival. Go ahead and give me nature then.
Ouch. I rolled a 3. I also have plus 7 in that, so I got a 10 on nature.
10?
Or survival, either one.
Knowing what how embedded you are in nature, this one's pretty easy for you. This looks like a pack hunting.
Are they hunting us?
It's hard to say. They are following the wagon, though, and they're a distance off into the woods.
I would point them out, but I don't know if I'd necessarily see... I don't know if I'd really make it known that it's like a threat. I'd almost be like, hey, guys, you guys see the pack that's coming? Oh, they're beautiful. You see those coming at us?
A pack of wolves coming at us.
Oh, I think majestic.
If I can see it.
Go ahead.
Majestic.
I get a 12.
12. No, you cannot see them.
I back away from the edge of the wagon, like try and get into the middle of the wagon and kind of put my hands up like I'm ready to defend myself with magic.
Miklik will also look for it because he likes animals. He rolls a natural 20 for a 25.
On what was that?
Perception to find the...
Perception check.
To see the wolves.
You absolutely can see them.
First natural 20 of the campaign.
Yeah,
there it is.
On a perception check.
To be fair, on a perception check to see a pack of wolves that are hunting us, so that could be worse.
Yeah. I don't know that they're hunting us. I just see them running in the woods.
I'm not letting it known that they're hunting us. They're beautiful, beautiful wolves.
I mean, a sword can be beautiful as well, but if it's right next to my throat, I'm not going to be admiring it.
Why not?
It's a good thing I didn't take the wolf instinct. I wouldn't be able to hurt them. Because it's anathema to attack my instinct animal.
Really interesting.
Are you guys hungry at all? I know you talked about eating butterflies before, and honestly, wolves, oh, delicious. So much better than butterflies. So much better.
After a little bit of time, you guys are admiring, or I should say more specifically, Vorn is admiring the wolves in the distance. They disappear. They kind of scatter and into the bushes.
I wouldn't know. I didn't see them to begin with. I'm still on edge.
Vorn, do you do anything? Or Miklik. Miklik saw them as well.
They gone. Me bored now.
Yeah, I mean, if they go off into the bushes and the wagon's still going.
Miklik starts looking around again.
Same.
Is it still, like, oddly quiet?
It is. Now, you know, all you hear right now is just the sound of the wagons, the horses, and the road.
Hey, my friend Miklik, are you still bored?
Yes.
I walk up, Plum walks up to Miklik, and I make a little gesture and say a couple words, and I tap my finger on his nose, and it glows with magical light.
He growls at you. like
it's a pretty light, Miklik.
Like, he doesn't understand it, so he finds it threatening.
Just brush it off. Just brush it off. It's fine.
You can imagine having a bright light just, like, on your nose. How fucking annoying would that be?
Come on, Miklik, just brush it off. It'll come right off. I promise.
He tries to brush it off his nose.
It doesn't come off.
I'm definitely laughing at that.
Just him, like, pawing at his face.
Porn is rolling on his side laughing. That's hilarious.
After you guys kind of start messing with Miklik a little bit, he's pawing at his nose, trying to get the light go away. All of a sudden, your banter is just completely interrupted by a wolf howling. Suddenly, the wolves that you saw that were rounding you on the side are dashing in on the caravan train and attacking it from all sides, including the wagon that you're on. Roll for initiative. Okay, everybody, now real quick. Roll? Yeah, for initiative, this is quite a bit different than what you experienced in first edition. When you're making an initiative roll, all you're doing is you're rolling a perception check unless you're doing something that specifically will give you use of another skill. Like, for example, if you're hiding in ambush, you would use your stealth as your initiative. In this case, everybody was just kind of messing around, so we're going to do
perception.
Perception. God, my brain. All right, we're going to kind of come start with Daru. Daru, what'd you get?
Oh, sorry, that's me.
Yes, that's you.
19 on the dice with a 4 of perception, so 23.
23, big numbers. Miklik, what'd you get?
I got an 18 total.
18 total. Plum.
Oddly identical in all respects to Daru.
23, including the modifier?
And a plus 4, yeah.
Roll off.
First roll off.
Is that how you do it? Are you sure?
I have no idea. I haven't seen that.
If your result is tied with a foe's result, the adversary goes first. If your result is tied with another PC, you can decide between yourselves who goes first when you reach the place in the initiative order.
Cool. No, so you guys are going to end up going first here because you had the highest rolls.
After that, your places in initiative order usually don't change during the encounter.
So Daru, it's up to you. Is going first something you would like to do?
I'll hold the line, sure.
And then last here is going to be Vorn. Vorn, give me your initiative.
So I do have a question. I know you want perception.
Yes.
Being that this is a kind of like a natural animal, would it be possible for me to use like a nature check instead of a perception?
Instead of perception?
Like, being a druid, fighting wolves, obviously my past.
I'll give it to you.
The best way to approach them in battle.
Definitely. Let's do it. Nature check for this initiative roll for Vorn.
Rolled a 5. That is a 12.
They pop out of the trees pretty close to where you guys are at. We're talking like 10 or 15 feet away from the wagon. And the teamster that's sitting on front is doing everything in his power to keep the horses in check. And the start of this combat is going to be handed to Daru. You go first, or Plum, whoever you decides.
We're still in movement, like the horses are still going.
No. The train has stopped.
Oh, okay. Then they're definitely hostile. I'll just step off and I'll go fight myself a wolf.
I'll
use a one reaction for a stride. One reaction for a...
What just action?
Sorry, well, yeah. One action for drawing my weapon as well. And then a strike for my third action.
So this is our first turn. There are 3 actions that a character can take in a given turn. And you get 1 reaction that you can use at any point during the round of combat. So Daru used 1 action to draw his short sword and then used 1 action to step out in front of the mangy wolf and then the 3rd to strike, correct?
Yep. I'll be All swinging right. my warhammer at this wolf.
All right. Let's see that roll.
That'd be a natural 1.
All right. So that in Pathfinder 2nd E, that's a fantastic start, by the way, yes. Is an automatic failure.
Quick side note, you do have a hero point.
I choose not to use it.
Do you want to use it immediately upon start?
The hero points, and we'll get into those a little bit later when we guys decide to use them, but at the start of every session, every player at the table gets 1 hero point. So Darrow has used all three of his actions. Then we're going to go over to Plum. It is your turn.
So Plum Pargeter is going to take one action to cast a spell, and a shield pops up in front of him. He sees that there's a wolf directly in front of him and no other obvious person for it to attack. He wishes he could back up, but there's no space to do so. So instead, a little ball of water forms in his hand. He says a word, and it launches real fast at that wolf. And I will make a spell attack at that wolf.
Okay, okay. And for your spell attack, how do you determine what that is?
So it is my proficiency plus my spellcasting stat modifier, which in my case, as a sorcerer, is charisma. So it's not using dexterity, which used to be a super important thing for, like, a sorcerer who used a lot of touch attacks. Now it's all just spell attacks, or at least as far as I've seen, it's mostly just spell attacks. So that's what I'm going to do.
Fantastic. And, David, proficiency?
Yes, proficiency. So proficiency can be trained, expert, master, or legendary. I'm sure we'll get into the others later. Right now, most things at this level seem to be trained at level one. Trained gives you plus two, plus your level, to whatever it is you're doing. So if I'm trained in my spell attacks, I get plus two, plus my level, which is one, which means my proficiency is three. So with my charisma modifier bonus of four, I have a plus seven on this attack.
Fantastic.
I rolled a 15, which means I got a 22.
That is a hit, yes.
I will deal to this wolf 1d4 plus my charisma modifier in bludgeoning damage. I did roll a 4, so that is going to be 8 bludgeoning damage, and he is also now a very wet dog.
8 bludgeoning damage as this ball of water coalesces in front of Plum and poof, launches right towards the wolf and splashes all over it. You actually make solid contact on that wolf. It flies back into the woods and collapses.
Success.
You guys, as you guys ended up taking that wolf down, you hear another howl coming from deeper within the woods. This one sounds worse. It's like this this haunting, long howl that happens.
Does it sound dire?
Oh, it's so dire.
Really?
Another wolf pops out of the forest, and this one is big. This is a bigger wolf. It looks like it has, like, things matted in its fur, and it almost has this, like, green tinge to some of those places where the fur is matted. And Plum, was your spell two actions?
My spell was two actions, yes. That would be the end of my turn.
So that would be the end of your turn. So we have this new wolf that's popped up. The first thing that this wolf does is he uses two actions to howl. He unleashes a terrifying howl. And this is going to demoralize all enemies within 30 feet. Let's see. Attempt an intimidation check against that target's will DC. So what's going to happen here is it's going to make an intimidation check, and you got your guys' will DC is 10 plus your will save.
Yes.
So what is...
That's it?
Yes.
Yep. This is actually an attack it's going to do against you guys. And it's going to get a 15. Will. Okay, so Vorn is unaffected. Daru, what's your will DC?
My will DC is 16.
It's not going to affect Daru. What about Miklik?
Miklik has a 15.
That actually makes the DC. If it matches or goes over the DC, it's effective. So that means that this will affect you.
Now, I do... Demoralize does say... If the target does not understand the language you're speaking, you're not speaking a language, or they can't hear you, you take a minus four penalty to the check.
Well, there's no actual, like, language being spoken here. This is its own action.
Yeah, I mean, a wolf howl, I don't...
A wolf howl isn't just going to scare other wolves.
You don't need to speak a language to be scared of that shit.
Yeah.
I gain the frightened one.
Correct.
Plum has a will DC of 16. He is also not effective.
Unaffected.
He should be.
You said I wasn't affected. Just to let you know, my will DC is 19.
Holy shit.
Nice.
That's why I wasn't affected.
Wisdom-based characters.
Yes.
All right. He jumps right in, and he howls. And that is his turn. Miklik, it's your turn, and you're frightened.
Yes, I'm gripped by fear and struggle to control my nerves. I take a status penalty equal to the value to all your checks and DCs. Unless specified at the end of your turn, the value of your frightened condition decreases by one. So I have a minus one to all my checks and DCs for this turn. But that does not stop Miklik from letting out a bestial roar and effectively entering a rage, which is one action. He will then move out of the cart in front of this new wolf, which is a stride action, which is one action, and then he will attack it. Rage gives me one temporary hit point. Well, actually, it's two. It's my hit dice plus con mod. So I gain two temporary hit points. I get a plus two damage and minus one to my AC.
So that's two actions. You still have one more, correct?
Yes. I will use my final action to swing at it with my fist because I took the ape animal instinct, which gives me a 1d10 fist attack unarmed.
That is a hefty fist.
That is a hefty fist.
Worthy of Harambe. Dicks out.
I roll a 7 on the die, which gives me a total of 14 to hit it.
14 to hit the big wolf. No, that does not hit.
Right, and that would be my turn.
It dodges out of the way and growls at you. The wolf that Daru confronted ends up using its jaws to bite at you. Does a 24 hit you? Hit your AC.
That was at Miklik, right?
No, I take that back. That's a 19. No, that was at you, Daru.
That's at you, Daru.
I heard Miklik, sorry.
19. Sorry,
yeah,
19.
That would hit. My AC would be 18.
Okay, perfect. So you're going to get chomped at by this mangy wolf, and you're going to take 5 points of piercing damage. You also need to give me a fortitude save.
All right. I have a fortitude 7, getting a 11 on the dice at an 18.
18 saves. You kind of see, as you get bit by the wolf, there's a couple of fleas that are on it that start jumping out at you. And you just, and you just brush them away real quick. That was the wolf's first action. For the wolf's second action, he's going to bite you again. Now, because this is his second attack in the same turn, he's going to take a multiple attack penalty. Now, normally, the multiple attack penalty is a minus 5, unless you have an agile weapon. Then it's a minus 4, which is the wolf's jaws are considered finesse, actually. Somebody help me with finesse.
Finesse is the same dex for attack.
Oh, okay, so it's not agile. So he's going to take a minus 5 on this. Going to get a 10 to hit you.
That would be no.
Daru, all right. And then finally, he is also going to attack for a third time using his last and final action. And in doing so, he's going to take now a multiple attack penalty of minus 10 to this. He's going to get a 13.
That is a miss.
All right, so the wolf. Gets you the one time and then snaps twice. That's that mangy wolf's turn. The other one is going to use a stride action to get over to Daru and kind of help his little wolfy friend there and take a bite at you with its jaws. Rolled a 3 on the dice. That's not going to hit. And he's going to try for a second time. This is at the minus 5 because it's his second. This one, 17 hit?
That would be a miss.
Oh, right. Got a bunch of misses on that one. After that wolf's turn, we're at the bottom of the order, Vorn.
So I've been trying to find the rules here. Are there any rules about casting a spell when you are adjacent to an enemy? I can't find anything about concentration checks, defensive casting.
Well, I mean, provoking. The attack of opportunity rule is gone. It's a special reaction that only certain monsters and classes get.
So in reality, I can cast point blank without really any downfall unless...
Unless there's a particular reaction that a creature has against casting somebody that's... There's somebody casting next to it.
Understood.
I haven't seen anything like that yet, but it doesn't mean it doesn't exist.
Another thing I never found in here was firing ranged attacks into melee, which is a big thing in Pathfinder 1E. I'm not seeing any negatives to it like there were.
I'm almost certain that if you shoot and there's something in your way...
They still get cover?
That they get cover, yeah. And the cover is a +2.
Okay, so here's what I'm going to do. Vorn's excited. He yells out, "You guys ready for a feast tonight?" And puts a foot up onto the edge of the wagon and holds out a hand and produces a little fireball, a little flame in his hand, and throws it at that new wolf that howled, the dire-looking wolf.
And he just streaks across the sky.
Yes, and he is going to move before he does that, too.
Oh, stride action or a step?
A step.
Step takes one action, it's 5 feet, and it does not provoke reactions, as far as I understand.
And yes. Fire off that little flame he just produced and get a 25.
25 does hit.
Okay. And this is basically the exact same thing that David's character did before, Plum, only it's a flame version of his water ball. I get 6 fire damage.
6 fire damage to the big guy. Singes some of his fur. We're gonna go to the beginning of round 2. Back to Daru.
All right. I'll be using 2 strikes against these guys. The first one is at no negatives. And 18 on the dice at a 24.
24 hits. Which one are you attacking?
We'll do the same target on the east side.
Got it.
And 1d8 on the Warhammer with 6 plus my strength at a 9.
9 points of damage. Daru pulls back and just crunches the skull of the wolf in front of him. That wolf is dead.
I will use my second strike. This one will be at a -5. And it's an embarrassing 9.
A 9 does not hit.
And then I will be using a new action in 2E called Raise Shield. And raising my shield, effectively using, gaining 2 AC from my shield, and with the feat Shield Block, have ability to block the incoming damage. We can get into that if that happens.
All right. After Daru, it is Plum Pargetter.
So Plum will again cast Shield as a single action, which, like what Daru is doing, causes me to raise shield action. However, mine is magical and floats in front of me. It doesn't take any hands. And then I will use my remaining 2 actions to again cast what is actually produce flame, but because I have the water elemental bloodline as a sorcerer, that's why it's water and deals bludgeoning damage. And I will launch that watery ball at the big wolf in front of Miklik. And Plum is now starting to like Miklik more because Miklik jumped out in front of the big scary wolf, so Plum didn't have to. I roll an 11, get a total of 18 on my spell attack to hit.
18 does in fact hit.
Fantastic. I roll another 4 on my damage, so that is another 8 bludgeoning damage.
8. And a
very wet puppy.
This puppy is very wet, and he does not like it.
And I am done.
He shakes off a little bit, and then on his turn, he's going to stride back to about here. It's about 10 feet away from Miklik, and he's going to open his jaws, and this spray, this line of green acid comes out of its mouth, and it's going to hit Miklik, Vorn, and Plum.
Well, I certainly didn't expect that to happen.
It's pretty gross.
You're all going to need to give me a reflex save.
I choose not to.
Miklik cackles as that happens. He thinks it's hilarious.
Plum gets a 15.
Miklik gets a 19.
Okay.
Vorn gets a 19.
Then who got the 15?
Plum Pargeter.
Plum fails on this save. 12 damage is full. 12 damage to Plum. 6 damage to Miklik and Vorn. Acid just sizzles into your body.
Pardon me, did you say 12 damage?
I did say 12.
I did not expect to have to look up the death and dying rules again.
We haven't been recording for an hour and I'm already killing one of you?
I have, in fact, 12 HP.
Oh, this is fantastic.
So everybody, you're only at zero.
For everybody at home, yeah, I pull no punches. Fuck this party.
It does say you immediately move your initiative position to directly before the creature or effect that reduced you to zero. You already are there.
That's true.
But that is an interesting thing. And you gain the dying one condition.
I am dying one. I am knocked out and dying one. And I have to make recovery checks.
Every turn?
Yes, every turn.
On your turn? Okay.
On my turn.
It looks as though if the value ever reaches dying four, you die. You die.
Good night.
Now, recovery, when you're dying, at the start of each of your turn, you'll end up making a check, but we'll get into that later.
When it's my turn. The turn of the thing that's dying.
Correct. All right. Then after the wolf just sprays that acid line all over everybody, Plum just falls unconscious, and it is now Miklik's turn.
Miklik continues to cackle. He is having a ton of fun. He takes a step action to move 5 feet. And then he will take a swing at this guy with his fist.
Punch the wolf right in the face.
And we are going to roll a one.
Oh, that's a failure. Automatic. Party's not rolling so hot right now.
No.
Miklik, you still have one action.
Still have an action. I can do another attack at a -5. So we're going to hope for a better roll here. That is a 13 plus 7 minus 5. So that is a 15 to hit.
15 does not hit.
Miklik is not doing well on his rolls.
Miklik just...
He's having too much fun to actually pay attention to what he's doing.
After Miklik, it is Vorn Storm.
Something. After getting hit with that acid and seeing my riding companions also get hit, I'm going to try heal. I love heal in this.
Tell us a little bit about heal then, Ted.
You can choose how many actions you want to take when casting the spell. If you take a single action for it, is a standard just touch spell. You have to touch someone adjacent to you, and it heals them 1d8 hit points. No static modifier added to that, just a flat d8 roll.
Flat d8.
If you decide to take two actions, you actually can heal from a range of 30 feet, and it heals 1d8 plus 8, which at level 1 is fantastic.
That's huge. Tell me a little about that plus 8. Is that just something that's in the spell, says plus 8?
In the spell, it says increase the hit points restored by 8, and the spell itself is a standard 1d8, from what I can tell.
There it is. There it is.
There is an option for it, 3 actions, which is basically the good old channel from 1e. Disperse positive energy in a 30-foot radius around me. Or 30-foot emanation, which I believe would actually just be... a 15-foot radius all the way around me.
And so then,
a single D8, but it does target all living and undead creatures in the burst.
No, a 30-foot emanation is 30 feet from the edge of your square in every direction.
So it would be a 60-foot diameter.
It is a 30-foot radius.
It actually ends up being like 65 feet because it is literally 30 feet from the edge of each side of your square.
Pretty nasty, and I love the fact that it states it targets living and undead, meaning that I heal all living in that 30-foot emanation and harm all undead from how I'm reading this.
Is that only allies, or is that all people?
All living.
All living and undead.
So enemies that are living also.
Wow.
I am going to do that, though, since I am pretty hurt myself. I know Miklik took some damage, and Plum is
boiling in acid on the ground.
A little pussy next to me. Looks like he's never taken acid damage before.
Fucking convulsing.
Who is this guy? So you're gonna see Vorn just holding his holly and mistletoe, and all of a sudden just a burst of light comes off of him. And heal a wonderful 6 to everyone within 30 feet of him.
Nice roll.
It's just exactly what I needed for myself.
Nice.
And back to the death and dying rules. From what I read, the moment you're in the positive HP, you do wake up.
You do wake up. Okay.
Right. Does his but death condition stay at 1?
No, he loses the death condition, but he gains the wounded 1 condition.
You have been seriously injured during a fight. Anytime you lose the dying condition, you become wounded 1 if you didn't already have the wounded condition. If you gain the dying condition while wounded, increase the dying condition's value by your wounded value. So that means if Plum gets put down again, he'll go directly to dying 2.
Dying 2.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I can't move. Never mind. That was all 3 of my actions.
Yes.
Say I move, but I can't.
Vorn used all 3 of his actions to put off that bitch and heal. Next is the mangy wolf that's just next to Daru, the one that's still alive. He is going to bite at you with his jaws. 17 on the die.
That would be at a 20 with the shield.
It will definitely hit then. Give me another fortitude save. After you take 7 points of piercing damage.
10. And I'd just like to state that you did 7 damage on the roll. The shield's hardness is 5, since I have my shield raised and I have the feat shield block.
Are you using your reaction now?
No, this is just having my shield up.
Oh, well, really?
No, you have to use the reaction shield block in order to use... in order to get the damage reduction.
Then yes, I will be using the reaction shield block.
Okay.
So that means... will be blocking 5 damage, bringing it down to 2 damage taken. And my shield, which has 20 HP, will also be taking that 2 damage, bringing it down to 18.
All right. Daru.
And so he also takes, both you and the shield take 2 damage.
Correct.
Daru and the tank. Then that fortitude save that you failed. You are now sickened 1 for 1 minute.
You feel ill. You take a status penalty equal to the value, which is 1, on all your checks and all your DCs. You can't willingly ingest anything, including elixirs and potions, while sickened. You can spend a single action retching in an attempt to recover, which lets you immediately attempt a fortitude save against the DC or effect of what made you sick.
Well, that sounds like a very Spencer thing to do, retching.
On a success, you reduce your sickened value by 1.
All right.
Oh, yeah, I'm for sure vomiting.
All right. Well, that wolf still gets 2 more attack actions at you, which is exactly what he's going to do. The second attack is at this minus 5. Ooh, rolls a 1 on the die, so that's an automatic miss. And for the final attack, he's only going to get a 10 to hit. So that wolf snaps at you, and you got some fleas on you, and it's disgusting. This thing is mangy and just, ugh. We're back at the top of the order, round 3. It is Daru's turn.
I will spend a single action to vomit, basically. Ugh. It's a little weird because I have fleas on me, but it would let me immediately attempt a fortitude save against the DC.
All right, go ahead.
What got me sick.
Give me that fortitude save.
And this would be at the minus 1 because you're sickened.
Hold on. Right. I'm gonna stop you, actually.
Okay.
You can spend an interact action to just scratch away the fleas to remove the condition.
So that would be just 1 of my actions.
Just 1 action and you don't have to roll.
Okay.
You just remove the condition and you lose 1 action.
I guess I won't be throwing up tonight.
Not yet.
That makes more sense.
Yeah, it did. Is that part of, like, the flea?
Yeah, it's part of this specifically, yeah.
Right. Well, I will use that action to remove said fleas and attempt a attack roll. That'd be a 3, so 7. I mean, 9.
9 does not hit.
Okay.
Okay, and you have a final action?
I will actually be using my devotion spell, Focus Lay on Hands. In a 2E, it is just a flat 6 health restored, and it also gives... the creature targeted by your lay of hands 2 AC until their next turn.
Oh, wow. So you get now a 20 AC because you didn't raise your shield, right?
Correct.
All right. That's pretty damn good. Then after Daru just gets to brush all the fleas off of him, and he touches himself to get healed up a little bit. Plum Pargeter, you are laying in a pool of acid.
Welcome back, buddy.
I'm laying in a pool of acid. Okay, so I will use the stand action, which is one action to stand from prone. And now I'm mad. Terrified and mad. And I scream, and I make much more grandiose hand gestures than I had before. And I throw both my hands forward. I don't even bother with my shield. And a massive pillar of water comes shooting out of my hands and smashes, or attempts to smash, into the big wolf.
All right. So and, what do you have to do?
I'll be making a spell attack. It'll be a spell
attack. Got it. All right. Let's see it.
This is most of my stuff. And I do indeed roll a 12, which means I get a 19 to hit the wolf.
19 does hit.
Fantastic. That is good news. So what's going to happen is the wolf is going to take 3d6 damage, which is going to be 10 total damage.
10 damage to the wolf.
And he is knocked backwards 5 feet.
Ah. So this just pillar of water launches from Plum's hand and hits the wolf. And it's looking bloodied now.
Does it knock it prone when it knocks it back 5 feet, or no?
Not. It simply pushes it back 5 feet.
Got it.
Yeah, then after Plum here, then it's the big wolf's turn. He's gonna stride past Miklik, right here, right in between where Miklik was between the wagon and the wolf. So now Miklik is on one side of the wolf and Vorn is on the other, and the wolf is going to attack or bite Miklik. The wolf is going to get a 22 to hit Miklik.
Absolutely.
All right, Miklik, you are going to take 6 points of piercing damage. And as the wolf just sinks its teeth into your skin, you take an additional 4 points of acid damage.
Wow, that hurt.
And finally, you are actually going to get knocked down. So after looking into it, we've discovered that the big caustic wolf used one action to stride, a second action to use its jaws to attack and successfully attack Miklik, and then its third action to knock Miklik down. And Miklik is now prone, and he did not get any options to attempt to save against it. The wolf just had to successfully bite it and then use an action to knock you prone. With that in mind, Miklik, you're prone. It is your turn.
Okay, Miklik will use his first action then to stand, which is a single action. He is looking pretty hurt, but he will strike back at this thing. Okay, he will take his second action to swing with his fist. And finally, maybe something that actually hits. He gets a 20 to hit.
20 does hit.
So for damage, Miklik gets 9 on the die, plus 4 strength, plus 2 from rage. Gets a 15 damage.
All right. Wow, big hit from Miklik. That was a punch?
That was a punch.
That was a punch. So Miklik... Miklik stands back and kind of winds up and wham, right in the wolf's nose, and just crushes its skull. The wolf dies.
Miklik howls with glee. And he will use his last action to stride over to the other one.
All right. Then after Miklik, it is Vorn's turn.
Vorn's hungry. So he screams out, I'm hungry.
And, man of good work.
Yeah, he's ready to eat some wolf. So he's going to use his focus ability or spell. It's called Tempest Surge. And what you see happen here is the only remaining enemy that's here starts to become surrounded by a swirling storm of violent winds, clouds, and crackling lightning.
Oh, wow. That's pretty cool.
Yes.
Just a swirling vortex of the elements and zap, right?
Yeah, I'm trying to use Sirenscape.
Ooh. Yeah.
So what it does is 1d12 damage.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You do get a reflex save.
Okay, okay.
Go ahead and give that a shot.
Reflex save of 14.
That is a failure.
All right.
So what that's going to do, he takes the full 1d12. On top of that, he is clumsy 2 for one round.
If he survives.
And he will take 1 persistent electricity damage.
Oh, okay.
He will likely survive because I just rolled a 3 on my d12.
Ooh.
So a little zap, but then he is clumsy 2 for a round, and he continues to take electricity damage.
All right. Well, it is that wolf's turn who has got, like, in between its fur, it looks like it's all standing on end. And he looks really uncomfortable. He's getting shocked here. Persistent damage takes place at the end of the creature's turn who has the persistent damage. Now, as far as I know, you can attempt to remove persistent damage or shake off the persistent effect. Persistent damage comes from effects like acid being on fire or many other situations. Instead of taking persistent damage immediately, you take it at the end of each of your turns as long as you have the condition, rolling any damage dice anew each time. Well, this one doesn't have dice, it's just 1. After you take persistent damage, roll a flat DC 15 check to see if you recover from the persistent damage. If you succeed, the condition ends. At the end of the wolf's turn, he's going to have to make a flat check. Now, a flat check is very simple in 2E. You just roll a d20. That is it. So in this case, you would have to roll a 15 or higher on the die, or he's going to keep taking that electricity damage. But the wolf, on his turn, sees that his pack leader has been completely demolished by this crazy fucking goblin, and he strides off into the woods. Get out of here. You guys are crazy. Get out of here.
Clumsily. I will state, he's clumsily.
Oh, he is clumsy. Let's just cover that real quick. What does clumsy do?
Your movements become clumsy and inexact. You take a status penalty equal to the condition value to all dex-based checks and DCs, including AC, reflex, ranged attack rolls, skill checks that use acrobatics, stealth, and thievery. So basically minus 2 to all those, right?
That one's pretty vicious then, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wow. Solid choice.
Too bad it doesn't make him run into trees and slow him down.
Too bad, huh? It's quieter on the caravan again.
Well, really quick, on his turn, if I can still take a turn...
I'll say, how far does this guy get?
Yeah, because I've got a spell with a range of 120 I'd like to try and use.
Oh. All right. He's going to take 3 strides. And let's see. He's running through underbrush. Wolves don't get any sort of way to, go through brush without penalty, so it's difficult terrain for him.
I haven't even looked into difficult terrain. Does it still work the same?
I haven't. Let's check that out.
He very well might just disappear into the trees, though, too.
Yes, he very well may. But I could roll a 20 on a perception check. Yes, it costs 5 extra feet of movement to enter a space of difficult terrain.
So it's basically the same thing.
Yeah, same thing.
Okay. So he gets to stride 3 times.
At essentially half speed.
10 feet until he gets into the brush. And then at that point, he has... 95 feet of movement. That gets cut in half. Round down is 45. So he's 45 feet into the brush.
All right. Can I make a perception check to attempt to see him?
Yes. Go right ahead.
I did not roll a 20. I, in fact, rolled a 5 and get a total of 9.
You don't see the wolf.
I fire a ray of frost into the trees in its general direction because I'm angry.
Nah, fuck you, wolf.
I tell him to stand down.
I fire off a ray of frost because I'm hungry.
I'd tell you to stand down. The creature's fled. It is no longer our problem, as I say to a goblin and a half-orc.
Three wolves, lots to eat. And Miklik walks over and just, like, takes a bite out of it.
Which one? The gross one? Let's not eat the gross one, right?
Yeah, he's not going to eat the that one that's, like, dripping acid out of its body.
Good idea.
We got one that's really wet and one that has a bastion skull.
He's not that crazy. So, this one that's next to Daru, he'll just go over and just, like, start biting into its leg. Just rips a chunk off.
I'm going to walk over and say...
I really think you should cook that first.
I agree with that one, the weird talking one. And I come over and start producing flame in my hand and cooking a leg. I rip off a leg and start cooking it for
you. You want to shave it?
I was going to say, Miklik, like, rips the leg off that he's got a bite. He's got his bite and just, like, walks away with it. Just, like, glaring at you guys.
I look at you as though you're all heathens, and I move up to... I'm sorry, Ted. What's your character's name?
Vorn.
Mr. Vorn, I have no cutting implement on me. Do you think you could cut me off a flank or some piece of meat?
All I have on me is a shield.
Hold on, let me hit it a couple of times.
Talking to the wrong person.
You have a blade on you. Mr. Miklik, are you able to cut something off for me?
There's like a giant great axe on his back, and he's like, looks at you. Fine. And he'll go over and cut whatever you want off of it.
Thank you, good sir. Thank you.
As you guys are butchering this wolf and, well, you know, or, you know, just eating it, depending on who you are here.
Well, really quick, I would like to say, I then cast Prestidigitation, and I flavor and cook 1 pound of this material.
Oh, Prestidigitation still rocks, I see.
It does. All right, I'm good now.
That's fantastic. After a little bit of time here, the teamster who is trying to control the horse gets him to calm down a little bit. Whoa there. And this, the leader of the caravan, Bort Bargeth, he comes up. Oh gosh, thank you so much. Are you all right? Is everybody okay?
Miklik is dripping blood from multiple wounds.
I am not really all that okay, I must say.
Well, I do very much appreciate your help taking down the threat after you killed the big one. The rest of them ran off. So thank you. Thank you very much. When we get to Estrin's Folly tonight, dinner is on me.
Dinner's on me, and I hand him a leg that I just freshly cooked.
I'll take a snack. Yes, I will take a snack. And he bites into it. Thank you. Thank you, friend.
Miklik offers him some of his.
That doesn't look cooked.
I saw the ass. I'm not touching any of these wolves. I'll wait for the meal.
We have, there's one cart ended up, one of the horses ended up pulling it around and into the woods a bit, and it's stuck in the mud. We're trying to get it out right now.
I'm pretty strong.
Hey, can we get a quick description of what Bort looks like?
Oh, for the people who can't see, Bort's a very interesting dwarf. He's got your typical big bulbous dwarf nose, square jaw. He's got blonde hair, and it's kind of slicked back, but his beard is just pristinely trimmed and braided. And you'd say maybe a medium fashion for a dwarf. It's not down to his belly. It's only about maybe 6 inches off of his chin. But it's braided. It's got some beard clasps in there. He's a very, very clean-looking dwarf. He's a merchant. He's got to look good for his customers.
But yeah, I let him know that I have a repair kit and I can definitely help. I'm strong.
Yeah, the Wainwrights definitely have the proper tools, but having an extra set of arms, yeah, now that's good. Come with me.
Me help.
Is it a wood wagon?
Yes.
That can help.
Okay, what if it was a steel wagon?
I won't touch that shit, but I'm good with wood.
Even after it's been cut.
I'm very good with wood.
He said with his hand down his pants.
While still eating a wolf leg with the other hand.
Nah.
And I'm not like cleanly eating either. It's all over my face. There's some blood and like sinew. Which,
oh man,
it's all over.
You're the worst.
Why is the sailor the most couth of you all?
I was gonna say that Miklik isn't any better. He's got, you can't tell what's his blood and what's the wolf's blood and what's.
So you've got the paladin, you've got the champion who is like, guys, they're gone now. You don't need to shoot spells randomly into the woods. And then you've got the half-orc and the goblin just chowing down this freshly killed wolf. And the sailor is like, ugh.
I feel like I like this little green man.
I do want to make a point of thanking both Miklik and Daru for stepping in front of the big scary wolves so that I didn't have to, even though one of them spewed acid on me. I appreciate your bravery.
Don't thank the guy that healed you and brought you back from it.
Oh, also thank you for healing me and saving my goddamn life. That is most important.
No problem, pussy.
Bort takes you all over to the wagon that's stuck. And he's got a couple of teamsters that are there, and somebody that you guys have seen around the camp. This is Tamley Grent. She's Bort's second in command. Tamley's a half-orc. She's got this really interesting like pattern on her lips. It's like a purple V almost on her lips. She dresses plainly, but you guys have seen her, in your days traveling with the caravan, you know, keeping everybody in check, and she's not mean, or she's not necessarily like outwardly angry or loud or anything like that. She's just make sure everybody stays in line, and she's directing the teamsters to try to push the wagon out.
Oh, come on, push it out. Heave ho.
And then Bort says, if you want to help out, go ahead.
I'll attempt to help out, but more than anything, is there anything broken on it?
No.
No.
No, it's just stuck in the mud.
Just stuck in the mud. No. I'll give it a shot to assist pushing it out.
Yeah, Miklik goes to push.
I would like anybody who is helping to attempt a athletics check.
Plum refrains.
Miklik gets a 26.
Miklik's strong little fucker.
21.
Yes. I have a +7 athletics and I rolled a 19, so.
Daru got a 21, you said?
Yep.
Fantastic. How about Vorn?
Do I have to talk about it?
Yes.
First off, how does untrained skills work in this?
If you're untrained, you just get zero.
You get zero proficiency.
So for you, it's going to be a d20 roll plus whatever the athletics modifier is.
Strength.
You mean minus.
Ah, the modifier still can be minus, so yes.
I rolled a 9, got it, 8.
Nice. Vorn, like, puts his hands on it and makes it look like he's trying to help. I'm like, oh, yeah, guys,
Still holding a wolf leg with one hand.
It's kind of hard to get leverage with that thing. Miklik just, like, puts the thing right in his teeth and just shoves it. After Miklik and Darun get into it, you end up pushing it out with relative ease.
Miklik is short, but he's very muscular without losing his his litheness. How do you pronounce that?
Litheness. I think it's lithe. Litheness.
It is lithe, but I've never heard of litheness before. It might.
I'm not sure what the word would be for that, but
you know what. We the English language is a complicated thing. You said a word we understand and added ness after it. It works.
All good.
You make up words. If we understand it, who gives a shit? All right. So you guys end up getting it pushed out, and Bort's like, thank you. I'm going to go back to my wagon now. Thank you all again for your assistance. We'll see you at Veterans Folly. Congratulations. You guys have successfully driven off the mangy wolf pack with the really odd large wolf that sprayed acid out of its fucking mouth.
That hurt.
Yeah, fuck, was that gross.
That did hurt.
I was not expecting that.
Did it hurt, guys?
I suppose you were the only one who didn't get attacked by it. This is going to be the first time that this party, generally we don't do this. Most of the time I do milestone leveling, which is when you reach a certain point in the book or in the adventure, or when it feels like it's appropriate, you just level the PCs. Part of that was because the leveling system in 1E was, a lot of big numbers, stuff that you can easily lose track of after some time. And I can't tell you how often that we would get to the end of a session. I would say, did we give XP out for that fight? I don't remember. So we did milestone leveling.
It's pretty basic in this.
It is. That's what I really like about it. Every level, it takes 1,000 experience points to level up to the next level. That's it. From level 1 to 2, level 19 to 20. The amount of experience you get is based on how challenging a particular encounter was for the party at the time. So this particular encounter was a severe encounter.
I'll say it was goddamn severe. I almost died.
Yeah, right? First combat, and the halfling just goes down.
Like you've never seen a wolf that sprays acid out of its mouth. Like,
yeah, I don't live in the woods. I'm from the sea.
I've never seen a wolf that sprays acid out of its mouth either.
You could have fooled me.
XP budget is 120.
120. This is actually kind of a good place for me to point out that unlike a video game RPG, when you win the fight, you get all of the experience from that fight. That wolf ran away. You still won that fight, even though that wolf is still alive.
We completed the objective of getting rid of them.
Exactly. So, after the battle, and after pulling the cart out of the mud, we did a little looking, and the severe experience gained is 120, we saw. And we determined that everybody gets that 120. Now, this is for a party of four. I know there's an adjustment table for if you have a bigger or larger party, but for this encounter, everybody is going to gain 120 experience points.
That concludes our inaugural episode of the MinMax Podcast. We want to thank you for joining us as we embarked into the Fall of Plaguestone and Pathfinder 2nd Edition. If you want to follow us, you can check us out at Twitter at MinMaxed. That's MNMAXED. You can also find us on any of the major distribution platforms for podcasts. Thank you again for joining us. We hope you have many great adventures of your own.